I'm glad to get to preach at Worth, and the pastor is so kind to me, you know. He sent me a text this morning, early this morning, told me he was praying for me, and all of that in some very kind words. Of course, he has to do that because he was my youth director 8 years, and I know a lot about him. So if he ever crosses me, no, that's not the case. But that was very nice, though, and I appreciate the fact that he asked me to preach on these special occasions like this. And I've told him before, I said, you don't have to do that. And he said, well, we're going to do it. So he's the boss, he's the pastor, and I let him do that. And I thank God for it. Now, this hair deal, where'd he go? We can take care of that. One good love offering, one good visit to the right place. We can make him look like Elvis or anybody else we want to. I appreciate this man. I really do. He's a right-hand man to the pastor, and such a blessing to everybody, as is all the staff. We have a great staff, and I praise God for it. Well, we just added a new one. I don't know about that, but we do have, no, seriously, we do have a great staff. All right, well, this morning's message was rather sweet. Tonight's message is going to be a little bit different because I'm going to preach on the husband-wife relationship. I never like to preach on that because I always get in trouble. But I got to preach it every once in a while. And so turn to Ephesians 5. Yes, that Ephesians 5. And we're going to look at some things, hopefully very quickly, maybe. Ephesians 5, begin with verse 22. And let's read down, and we'll come back and make our comments. The husband-wife relationship. Ephesians 5, 22. Now, some of you guys aren't married, but take notes. I know you have wishful thinking, but get those notes so you'll know what to do when you do get married. Amen. And vice versa. Some of you are on the verge, and you better take notes. And the rest of us probably could do a little bit of checking up on some of these things. But here's what he says, and this is God, all right? We believe God wrote the book, right? Amen. And so he said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, committing, that's a good word there, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, conveying love, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. In verse 32, he said, this is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ in the church. This is typical of the relationship, should be, that Christ has for the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christ is the head of the church, and it illustrates a husband-wife relationship. Now, let me tell you, the greatest enemy to the church is the devil, right? I mean, to the home is the devil. To any marriage, the devil will work and work. First thing he wants to do is dethrone God, and then he wants to debase men. That's part of his plan. Then he wants to deny morals, and then he wants to destroy the family. The devil loves to destroy families. He loves to mess up families. And even if he doesn't destroy them through a divorce, he loves to mess them up so they don't enjoy each other, enjoy the home, or enjoy that relationship. So let's look first of all at the relationship of the husband to the wife. Husbands, we owe our wives something. What do we owe them? Well, verse 23 says, we're the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, what do you think that means, Christ is the head of the church? It's leadership. He's the leader, right? The pastor's the under-shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the leader, and he works under the great shepherd. But the relationship here, husbands, we owe our wives leadership. And I'm telling you, I hate to say it like this, but in the Christian faith, we got a lot of pansy men that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Ouch is right. And so that's one reason that the churches get weaker and weaker because of that. A leader, we're not talking about being a dictator. There's a difference. A man ought to be a leader, but it doesn't mean he has to be a malicious dictator. Marriage rights, traffic lights sort of remind me of each other. You got to have your own way. Well, here's a little poem. Here lies the body of Benjamin May, who died defending the right of way. He was right, dead right, as he sped along, but just as dead as if he were wrong. That's about what happens when both demand that they've got to have their right of way. The Bible makes a great sword, but it doesn't make a good club, guys. It makes a great sword, but not a good club. You're the head of the home. God says that. If a home doesn't have a head, then you're dead. I mean, you just don't have what a home ought to be. Two heads in a home makes you a freak. You can't have two heads in a home. You've got to have one or you will be a freak. The head speaks of responsibility, not just authority. But men, when we think about what God tells us in leadership, it's not just authority, but it's responsibility. Any pastor will tell you that his position is more than just authority, but it's responsibility. And so it's very much that way in the home. Reminds me of the little cartoon. It showed a lion boasting. He came out and said, "Who's king of the jungle?" Growling and letting them know it. And the rabbit said, "I'll tell you, it's not me. I'll guarantee you it's not me." And the monkey said, "No, it's not me. It's not me." And he came to a bull elephant and he asked that question, "Who's king of the jungle?" This bull elephant had trunks, or tusks rather, that was 6 foot long, and he sent that lion sailing. And so the lion said, "Just because you don't know the answer, you don't have to get so sore about it." You know, so this is a relationship. We are the head, but we have to. You can't go around spouting off that you're the main line all the time. But it's a responsibility, and it's to be done in love, and that's what verse 25 is talking about. When he says that in this verse, he's talking about love. Husbands, love your wives. And that's the agape word, love. Love your wives. How much? Even as Christ also loved the church. And what did he do? He gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives. Jesus never really forced leadership. You notice in his ministry, he led with love, didn't he? Always. And that's the best kind of leadership, servant leadership and loving leadership. But if the homes are wrong, I want to say this, that I believe probably most of the time it's the husband's fault. If the homes are wrong. Now, I know there are some exceptions, but there has to be that love. And this is a passionate love, men, a real love, an agape love. Christ died because he loved a lost world. It's the same kind of love. And I can tell you this, if you'll love your wives like Christ loved the church, enough to be willing to give yourself for her, a wife will have no problem submitting to her husband if he loves her that much. He'll be glad to be submissive, or she'll be glad to be submissive. Then there's practical love. In verse 25, at the end of it, he's saying, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's practical. If you really love, you don't mind giving yourself, men, to your wives and to your family. Nothing is too precious to give up for her. That doesn't mean you're compromising. The only thing that would be more precious or too precious would be that you gave up Christ or relationship with God. You can never do that. That would be wrong. You've got to stand. You've got to serve God and do what's right. But we have to have practical love. Nothing is too precious. We have to think this. Nothing is too precious for my wife. I love her. I feel that way about my wife. And I love her. Nothing is too precious. Now, sometimes it's too expensive, but, but it's never too precious. Purifying love, verses 26 and 27. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. You see, that's the kind of love. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's an important thing. And he's saying to the men, that's the way it should be. A purifying love, verse 27, is talking about the very same thing. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. That's God saying, men, that's what you ought to be wanting to do for your wives, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We should want to bring our wives to that place because of the love that we have. My assignment is to make her, my wife, radiant, to make her pure before God as much as possible, to make her prophet, priest, and pastor, in a sense, to be involved in her life. Now, protecting love, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, that's an unusual verse, but it's a strong verse. One of the greatest instincts we have, whether man or woman, is self-preservation, isn't it? We want to be careful about our own body and take care of it. I remember one night we had put in a new closet door and coming in our house, and it had mirrors on it, and they put it in during the day. I came home that night and I didn't know it was a mirror there. It was winter, and I came over and I was taking my coat off and I looked in that mirror, and man, there was a man in there, ugly man, and he was about to hurt me. And I jumped back and hollered, and then I realized that's me in that. These are the mirrors that we had put in that day. My wife didn't let me know that before we got home. But anyway, my first reaction was self-preservation. But I'm going to tell you that I want to protect my wife and don't hurt my wife. Now listen, I'm a peaceful man. And I can't handle everybody. I don't have the muscles I used to have. Never did have all of them, all the good ones. But I'll tell you one thing. You mess with my wife, and I have an equalizer. You say, that's not love, preacher. Well, you make whatever you want to. But you mess with my wife, and you try to hurt her, I'll shoot you. You try to break into my house and hurt and rape or murder or molest my wife, I will shoot you. And then I'll just give up a reward in heaven. That'd be all right if that's the case. But men, we ought to love our wives, be protected. Just like we have an instinct to protect ourselves, protect our wives. Protecting love. Don't hurt my wife. We say, well, she's a weaker vessel. Well, physically, that may be true. This transgender junk, I'm not going to get on that. But I'm telling you, that's a mess. It's stupid. But women are not necessarily weaker than us. As a matter of fact, if you do a survey in our church, who's living the longest? The women are. We have a lot of women in their 90s, and most of us guys in our 80s. you know, we're about through. That's it. But these women in their 90s still driving, plus and all of that, they're not the weaker vessel. Intellectually, I promise you, they're not the weaker vessel. They really aren't. And I'm telling you that many women I know are not the weaker vessel as a Christian. Some of the strongest Christians I've ever met in my life have been Christian women. I think of somebody like Corrie Ten Boom. What a godly woman she was. And Elizabeth Elliot, you know the story behind that. Johnny Erickson, every time I hear Johnny speak and see her as a paraplegic and then all the problems and then cancer and all that stuff and how she still praises God. I'm telling you, it takes a godly woman to do that. Now, women may be physically the weaker vessel. They're more delicate, I will agree to that. But have you priced cloth lately? Silk costs a whole lot more than just plain old cloth. And a woman is like that. They're very delicate. But thank God, God made them that way, and that's the way He wanted it. Now, we may not understand some things about women, men. And we don't. And we make jokes about it, but hopefully you're not serious. If so, you need to hit the altar tonight. But at any rate, we can't do that. But we may not understand things about them. Like the woman called her husband up. She said, "Honey, you got to come home. I can't get the car started." He said, "Well, what's wrong?" She said, "Well, I think it's flooded." He said, "Well, where is it?" She said, "In the swimming pool." So. Will Rogers says we're all ignorant, just in different areas. You see, you don't want me doing brain surgery on you because I'm ignorant in that area. I might help you fix a flat tire, but you don't want me doing that other. And so that's the way it is. But God made women the way He made them for a purpose, but God has given us that responsibility. In verse 29, He's talking here about providing love. Let's go back to that a little bit. "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh." We don't hate our own flesh, men, "but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." We take care of ourselves, and He's implying there that we ought to take care of our wives. And that word cherish, men, quit being an old deadhead. Start cherishing your wife. Put your arm around her. Give her a kiss every now and then. Cherish her. I remember one time when I was a teenager and I had bought a corsage, sorry honey, but it was for a girlfriend that I had back then. And I had laid it in the seat between my dad and I, and he had picked me up from football practice, something we were going home. And so he pulled in to get gas, and the owner came out and said, "Oh, Mr. Weaver," he said, "are you taking that corsage to Ms. Weaver?" He said, no, he said, "Once you catch the fish, there's no need to keep putting bait on the hook." So I thought, wow, that's real, real good, you know. But gentlemen, you ought to buy some corsage, I mean, some flowers once in a while, if she likes flowers. Some women don't care for that so much, but whatever it is, do that. Don't, express it. Don't just verbalize it, but do verbalize it too. And some men, you know, it almost strangles them to walk up and say, "Darling, I love you. You know, I love you so very much," and say it more than one time a day. You'll live, and she'll be encouraged, and it'll help. It helps, and your food will taste better, I promise you. Let me say this, too. Don't just admire her beauty. Some guys just, they get married, and they admire their beauty. Then after a while, they just, you know, they're sort of flaky about the whole thing. They think it's just not needful and necessary. And by the way, ladies, don't withhold intimacy to your husband, husband's intimacy to your wife, if they're physical, if it's physically possible. I know other things enter into it sometimes. But don't just admire her beauty. I want to tell you why. Mother Nature and Father Time change it. We were talking this morning about some of us, and I was saying, I've been here 29 years. I'm a 29er now. And we were talking about some of the things, and somebody said, "Boy, it's really different now." And I said, "It sure is." I said, "Have you looked at some of the pictures lately of us back when I first came here? And they said, yeah, we have. And boy, things are really different. And they really are. Of course, I have permanent youth, but most people don't. You know that's not true. But Mother Nature and Father Time have a way of changing. You know, you better love for the right reason and brag on her. And you, if she takes time, about 3 hours a day to get that stuff on, then just praise the Lord for it. And thank God she looks better. Amen. And you guys, I told you I'd get in trouble. You guys are hopeless. We can't use makeup, so we just have to take what's there and go on. There's nothing wrong with it. Then there's loyalty, verses 30 and 31. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave. Now listen, men. His father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. I hope you got the gist of that verse and what he's saying. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. Now, leave, it simply means, it doesn't mean you forsake them. It means you give a priority over that relationship. And I'm telling you, probably some of the reasons some guys stay single is because their mama's been running their life so long, they can't see anyway, if they get married, how it could be any different. But we have to realize that it's not that way. But leave and give a priority over all relationships, including parents. You don't mistreat them. Some people mistreat them. They put them in a nursing home, forget them. That's not what he's talking about. He's all about taking care of them and helping them, but don't let them run your marriage. You men, if your mother is dominant, you be kind to her, but you may have to put her in her place someday. And your wife will say, amen. I've been waiting for that a long time, perhaps. And stay together. Stay together. I told Carolyn, I said, you can't ever leave me. She said, why? I said, because if you leave me, I'm going with you. So follow that one, all right? Happily married and divorced people have the same problems. We all have problems. Work them out in the Lord. I know there are some exceptions, but the difference is not always the problems. The difference is the biblical commitment to what God called marriage. And I know some have had situations you cannot help. I understand that. But let me tell you something. Christ is loyal to us. And Christ will never divorce you. And our relationship is always going to be good if we walk in fellowship with him. Now, wives, I won't take so much time here. Wives, what you owe your husband. Verse 22, it says that you should be submissive to him. Now, that's the opposite of the world. These women liberals, man, they just go crazy when you say that. And when you say that a woman should not be a pastor of a church, they go double berserk, because the Bible says that a woman is not to have authority over a man, especially in that spiritual realm. But there should be submission. And that's so opposite of the world. Let me give you this illustration. Was Christ submissive to the Father? Was he inferior to the Father? Not at all. But that was the way it was designed in heaven, and that's the way God has designed the marriage. Christ was submissive to his Father, but he was not inferior to his Father. The woman is superior, I'm telling you, at being a woman. I mean, they really are. How many of you men would like to have a baby? From what I hear, it's not too pleasant. But women are special, created by Almighty God for their role in our lives and society. But here's what happens. If you're not submissive, ladies, you're going to have difficulty with God. If you're not submissive, you're out of God's will. And your prayers, hear me now, your prayers will not be answered until you get that right. You must get that right. Not that you're a slave, but submissive to the Lord. And there might be difficulty with a husband, that's all right. And you might cause it. You may be a crippler instead of a completer. But God gave you, ladies, to be a completer to the man, Eve and Adam. That was what God was doing in that relationship. So be a completer, as you should. Sometimes I think the reason some families, some have difficulty with their children is because they can't direct them. And one reason is, listen, this is a good statement. Listen to it, and you may want to jot it down. You'll never be over until you're under. The pastor will never be over this church until he's under Jesus and knows that. And ladies, you'll never be over until you're under. And that's God's plan. And that's just a principle that will flow through all of life. So be supportive, ladies. A man wants to be thought well of and wants you to be supportive of him. Sharing the relationship. Christ and the church share. Christ loves us and shares with us, and we love him, and we should share with him our time, talent, treasure, all of those kinds of things. And so Christ and the church share. How? Emotionally. We share with Christ emotionally. We cry, we weep, we confess our sins, and Christ is emotional to us. And we share in finances. We should do that in families. I know some families I've heard that she says, this is mine, it's not yours. I'm keeping my bank account over here, and you're not going to know how much I make or how much I get or what I put in the bank or where I spend it. And she says, well, that's the way you're going to do it. That's the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep mine. You're not going to know it, and that's the way it's going to be. Well, it won't work out that way. No wonder there's an overdraft when that happens. There was a perfect marriage except for one feminine flaw. He was fast on the deposit, but she was quicker on the draw. And that would be true of men, too. Let's be honest about it. Sometimes men are the spendthrifts. And some argue, well, that's just too restrictive. What you're saying to men and what you're saying to women is too restrictive. That's not the case. Take a choo-choo train. Take a train. Would you rather it be on the tracks or headed out to the meadow to hit you? You know, God lays down the tracks. What are the tracks? Here they are right here. Here are the tracks. Get that train on the Bible tracks, and you're going to have a wonderful and great marriage, and there's nothing like it. Be submissive. Be supportive in that marriage. Well, there's a whole lot more I could say, but I'm not going to say it. Because I've been told, please don't preach long tonight. There are cupcakes over there or something like that. But you know, God wants us to have wonderful, great homes, doesn't he? Husband-wife relationship. And may I say, in any direction for the husband or for the wife, if there's some area of improvement, you ought to improve it. If you've been slacking or if there's something you need to do, then you need to come to the altar if God leads you to do that. And pray and say, God, forgive me. God, help me to do better at being a husband. And wives, that may be true in your life too. We want wonderful homes. God wants that. Husbands, you be the leader. You do it in love and you do it in loyalty. Wives, be submissive and supportive to your husband as the Bible says. And I'll tell you, you'll have a good marriage. You'll have a good marriage. Now, it all begins with Christ. If you're not saved, you're just not going to be able to do this. First, you got to be born again. The Holy Spirit indwells you, and the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us do what we should do as husband and wife. And thank God that the Holy Spirit lives within us and enables us. So if you're not saved, you know, I think one of the saddest things in the world is for the husband to be lost and the wife saved, or the wife to be a person that is lost and the husband saved, and they don't have that. Or the same would be true in the area of commitment. The husband's committed, but the wife isn't. The wife is committed, but the husband isn't. Isn't that sad? God says we ought to be one together in unity before Almighty God, and God wants us to be that way. Let's stand and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you have spoken to our hearts through your word. And if there are some things we need to pray about, things we need to do, I pray that you would help us to do that tonight. May we come to the altar and ask for your help and wisdom and guidance and improvement in relationships. Husbands or wives and children with their parents. And they must learn to be submissive in order to ever be a leader. And I pray that they too would see that, and that they would see in their homes a mother and daddy that loves God and that is trying to make that marriage all that it should be. May you help us now, and if there's someone here without Christ, God, may you convict their hearts to know that's the starting place. They need to be born again and then surrendered to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.